15 to 20 million
jobs. I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As we begin our broadcast on this first Wednesday of spring, I want to welcome all of you and ask that you do all of your spring shopping with the idea of looking at labels and supporting your local community stores, especially during this Easter week as people go out shopping and look for various things for the holiday. Make sure you focus on what you can and make sure that the people in the stores know that you're a supporter of American Made and all of the other efforts that we have taking place in the USA, which continue to be quite good these days, and they're continuing to grow, and I can't believe how much they are growing. Well, as always, I ask that you call family members and friends and invite them to tune into the broadcast here on 860. If you received that email and you're located in any state in the USA, just email a friend and invite them to tune in. All they have to do is go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And on the front page, you'll also see a nice video there with Mark Andel and his Made in America store. It's right under the Listen Live broadcast and the photos of our panel members. Do check it out, as well as all the other links that are on top and on the page itself. You'll be very interested in what we're trying to do. First, I want to thank our panel members, Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, and Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our great engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, your Wednesday host, and thank you for tuning in. And as we bring you this first broadcast of the days of spring, please do your best to go out of your way to support our radio broadcast as well. Just invite family and friends, no matter where you're out shopping or see them over the holiday season, let them know about American Workers Radio and the fact that we are available on the internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, gentlemen, and everyone listening, everywhere I go, people tell me about the election. So we're going to devote a little bit of time today. And after watching national leaders bypass American workers for decades, we see that we can't elect another president that is really not focused on actually addressing the need for jobs in every sector of America's economy. We need timelines. We really need timelines on what they're expecting to do and what they will accomplish within the first 6 months of their administration. This is starting to become very interesting. And it's really time for all of us to take a hard look at who is making the best efforts, promoting the most realistic changes that would benefit working age and able-bodied Americans and people of all ages living in America. We want jobs, we want good education, we want security, and we want to know that the leader involved is the person who's going to do a good job representing the people of America first. I'm interested in hearing what our panel members have to say, and I would like to first begin today with Dr. Rich Logis. Rich, how are you doing? And what have you been noticing with the election, which is on the topic list of every person I speak to?
Yeah, well, good, Michael. It good and it should be, and I'm glad it is. Good morning, guys, to everyone, and good morning to our listeners. We are living in historic times right now, Michael. I just don't know any other way to put it. The next several coming months, wherever our listeners may stand with a candidate, or maybe they're not with a candidate yet, still making up their minds, it's very possible that the country could look markedly different in just a few short months. And I desperately hope that any differences that we're going to see are going to be for the better. But I think we're moving closer and more toward what could be a real historic moment in the country right now. And what's driving it, we don't need a political science degree, and we don't need years and years of data, Michael, to figure out what's driving it. It's real simple. What's driving it is a charged and active electorate. Turnout, baby. Turnout.
I've never seen anything like it. In fact, in the last month in the state of Pennsylvania alone, 100,000 people changed their party registration, and we've had an enormous amount of people register to vote. This is very good. And you know, if you remember, last year we said, boy, if we could only get another 15 or 20% of the people out to vote, would that be wonderful? And it really would be wonderful. And we're seeing that it is possible, because these are bread and butter issues that the people need to address. We're tired of the people sitting around just discussing what they want to do. It is now the people of the United States. I feel the American people want action from their next president, and a lot of changes in trade agreements and all those trade agreements that dismantled so many of our industries, put our people in peril. People are tired of it. And I hear it in the voices. I see it the way people are discussing what they're doing as they go shopping. I have never heard people talking about, why do you have so many foreign-made products in this store? People talking to each other, saying, I'm tired of seeing a cell phone. Everything in my house is foreign-made. What happened? Why did it happen? Well, it happened mainly because too many trade agreements, too many businesses found it better to offshore everything and just use America as a place, a destination for them to have their headquarters, and the American people would be their long-term customers. But there's a big problem as a result of it. Once you don't have a job, that could go for 4 months, maybe 6 months, a year. Once you don't have a job for several years, you start to get to the point where you can't buy anything. And that's where the bread and butter issues are now taking major focus. Mark, what do you see and hear from people as they visit you regarding the election?
Yeah, Mike, good morning, and Rich and Larkin and Henry. And, you know, Mike, I had a big weekend. We had a big event in Ohio, and the town is Lewisville, Ohio, or right next to Canton, Ohio. And, you know, we started this new mission movement, continued mine, but called the Rebuilding the American Dream. And it was neat because we flew Clyde Strickland up from the American-Made movie. He's the visionary and founder and major producer of the movie. Of course, he made the American-Made movie to make change, and myself was a speaker and brought the Made in America store, and then Ricky Lee did a new song, Looking for America, and we released and debuted that. We had a full theater, a 1926 theater in Canton, Ohio, holds 1,700 people, and a great event. But to see Lewisville was a town, small town America, that was really affected through all the change that we talked about, and the overseas, you know, all the businesses going overseas through the years, and they had just had a big stainless steel plant factory that was in negotiations for about 7 months. People stood in line for 210 days, and the event actually got them all back to work, I think. You know, this past Monday, they were all called back. So great weekend, great American feel. But I love what I'm seeing, like Rich and Larkin and all of us with this election. It's like we stabbed the bee's nest, if you've ever done that. Now all the bees are buzzing and trying to repair it. But it's got people's attention, and people I've never heard talking about you know, politics and who we need. And I think it's time we need a qualified, you know, self-funded leader that loves America. And, you know, we always talk about America got selfish, greedy, and lazy, but we got to end the you know, corrupt, evil, selfish government and get back to work here in America. Because I was at an event where these people love America, Mike. You know, and they believe Clyde did a nice speech there. And one thing in his speech, he said, you guys come here today and you drove, you probably hit potholes. And if you like them potholes, buy foreign products. If you want them potholes fixed, buy American.
Very well said. Wow.
And that's a great way to put it.
You know, Larkin has mentioned that America's infrastructure is in need of enormous care. Larkin, after you're watching what's happening with the election, what's happening in your mind?
Well, good morning, Michael and Mark, Rich, Henry. And listeners, thanks for joining us. It's still, to me, is one of the most unpredictable, amazing, different elections I've ever seen in my life. There's one side of me that says that we still don't have the two parties' nominees in front of us yet. And I listened to a debate on that very issue and really found some of the issues brought up by that individual who was talking about it's not going to be Hillary and it's not going to be Trump, that neither one of those people are strong enough for or have their weaknesses or whatever, and that there's somebody laying in the bushes on both sides that's going to run. So we'll see. I don't know. I find several things very interesting this week. I find our president in Cuba to be very interesting. I find his remark that there's a monument to the Cuban people in the United States, and that's called Miami. He could have slapped me in the face and probably gotten a stiffer reaction out of me. And I still find that the candidates are not, under any circumstances, addressing the issues. They're still calling each other's names. They're still talking about unrest in their events. They're still talking about all the stuff except what they should be talking about. And I'm hoping that as we start to get to the end of the elections, leading up to the to the conventions, that they'll start talking about issues, that they'll start talking about unemployment, that they'll start talking about the collapse of the American family, that they'll start talking about jobs and manufacturing in America. They sure haven't started yet. There's one person out there right now that I know what he's going to do or what he says needs to be done, and a lot of it's radical and doesn't suit the standard bearers of either party, because there's going to be change.
There will be change like we have never seen it. And, you know, yeah. As we were talking the last month, I believe it was, we had a contact from a listener and a promoter. And I want to mention this, Larkin, to you, because they're trying to stop the further dismantling of America's industries, and they're promoting ideas as to what are we going to do to stop the private sector industries that are still thinking of leaving because there's more taxes, more restrictions, you know, more regulations on everything that's going on in the USA. Many of the businesses are hoping that the new president will have different ideas and be able to help them to stay in the USA. But for the record, I was contacted by a Miss Miller from the office of #StopTTP.org. And they are inviting all American workers to check out their internet site and let more be known about what is happening with this TTP agreement. That address is #StopTTP.org. So if you can, take a check on it, and you'll see exactly what many groups like ours are doing to help. You know, because everybody agrees, Larkin, Rich, Mark, and all of our listeners, that if we don't ask the questions now, and if we don't get answers now, and get people to the table to bring the questions you'd like to see answered, Larkin and all of us. Once they get to the White House, they're just going to close the door and it'll all be too late. We'll have to wait another 4 years before any real discussion starts up again. So now is the time for us to ask those questions. And people who have gone out of their way to join efforts like American Workers Need You and American Workers Radio, these groups are starting to expand all over the USA. And I want to thank them for tuning in, even following our broadcast today. We have the Philly Labor Show. If you have an opportunity to stay tuned, they'll be on from 12 to 2 with Pat Iding as the host. I mean, everybody's trying to do what we can to make sure change is happening. As you know, we're non-sectarian and we're non-political. We try to give everybody their just due. But people, as I travel around, are already having an opinion, Larkin, as to what they do. And the main thing that they tell me is they want a president that has authority, projects authority, has knowledge of what it takes to employ a person, pay the bills, to generate a schedule of businesses, how it's done, seasons of the year. A president has authority that's going to be projected to other people and want to make them get involved. It's not only a political person that's part of this movement. It has to be someone who's paid the bills and understands the stress of paying a bill. And all of us on this broadcast certainly know the stress of paying bills.
Absolutely.
Well, I understand, but the only problem, and I wouldn't know Pat Iding if I tripped over him. I've heard the name a lot, but you know, primarily because he follows us on the radio, and I do get a chance to listen once in a while. But I don't have anything against labor. I think labor's, you know, one of the most important elements of this country. They're the people that made this country, and but I think labor's kind of lost its way a little bit. And not only that, I find the unions, especially in Philadelphia, where it's the only place I was familiar with them and could watch them or listen to them, I found them to be, you know, one-trick ponies. All they could do was scream about labor. I'm more into an organization that has the entire country in its future and in its bell house. You know, we have to worry that small businesses all the way up to large businesses do well. We have to make sure that it's a fair playing ground. We have to make sure that labor is treated well and fairly. All of it comes together to make the country what it is.
Yes, and you're right, Larkin. And I think that the next president has to be that person to actually bring in all the private sector businesses, the governors, go to the House and Senate and talk directly to the people. The days of I sit here and you sit there, I'm down in my house, you're in your place, I think this is over. The lines that you're seeing at these voting booths tell us that things have changed in America. The people, the giant, the American giant has waken up and they want action. I want labor to be successful. I want the little business to be successful. I want the local store to be successful. Everybody has to have success. Working together, we can do that. Larkin and everybody, you know, when I think that our national elected leaders sat back for 30 years and watched all these carriers and all the other companies leaving this country, go picking up our entire operations and moving them abroad, that has hurt American workers. How did they feel? How did they think these people were going to be able to be quality Americans and continue to pay taxes?
What's 30 years got to do with it?
30 years they watched and did nothing.
But they're still doing it.
Well, we have to now force this to become a bigger part of the debate.
And guys, I don't think people know how the economy is right now, so I can paint a picture for you because I own a manufacturing place and the Made in America store. So we've been on 4 days a week for 8 weeks now. You know, we lost the oil industry's down, the general economy's down, we build Apple Presses, whatnot, everybody's down. I know 1,000 people from three businesses laid off. My main business is going to lay, they're up to 412 people laid off. They're going to lay off more this week, my main customer. But nobody really realizes, and in this time, so our tough times, and it's tough on our guys because we got a lot to do. Well, we're at 4 days still. Now also I get hit from New York State with a sales tax audit. I get a New York comp insurance audit yesterday. I get a New York State labor audit. And I get two agricultural inspections at the store. So these things don't help you in tough times. So my point is they're making it tougher and tougher on business, and they need to look at that. But do these political officials even know what I go through, what people in business, what Rich goes through? Larkin, you're on the side of score just to get capital. I got a bank voting on two loans today, and very tough to get capital. So I don't even think, I don't know if they know in these debates what we go through every day as an entrepreneur. Like we talked about, some people say we're crazy. We call it passion, or Larkin calls it passion. They don't realize the fight we fight every day, and that's what they've got to get down to. They've got to bring themselves down to these small-town Americas, these small businesses, and realize what's going on right now in our economy.
I'm gonna tell you that of all the candidates running, there's only one that's ever met a payroll.
And that's a problem.
And that's a huge problem. They have absolutely no idea what this country runs on. They have no idea what makes it successful. All they know is that they're career politicians, and when this election's over, they won't wait 2 weeks to start running their next campaign.
And, guys, I don't know if you caught Hillary's speech, and I listened to it last night. Again, you want to weigh it out who's – and I listen to it, and it's kind of the same old tape. It's like they ran a tape and says exactly what everybody wants to hear and what they're going to do and what we should do, and nothing happens. That's the scary thing. I think I listened. It was a half hour after she won Arizona, and I'm just hearing the same old stuff, but nothing happens. But the people are all cheering because she says the right things.
Now, Mark, what you're going through with those audits, exactly what I hear from others. There is a problem, and it should be addressed. We can mention it right here. First of all, people listening should understand how hard it is for businesses to remain in business with all the taxes and the regulations and the need to pay the employees on time and all. This is a very, very important issue.
And maybe make a dollar, Mike.
It's very hard to make a dollar to keep the lights on, let alone pay the bills. But Larkin and everybody and Rich, this is very interesting. If you go to the debt clock, which is linked on the front page of American Workers Radio, and you hit on there, it says, 323 million Americans live in America. We have right now 119 people in private sector jobs. 119. But there's something very important. We have 23 million government workers. The people who are looking to go through all your audits and all, they have to have something to do. So they constantly come out looking for things to do so they can keep their jobs. Now, think of this imbalance. 119,000 people are, 119 million are private sector. 23 million are government sector. And 45 million people need a full or part-time job. And the people in Washington have been watching this for 30 years. Since Reagan was in office, they've been watching this happen, and nothing's been done. We had the dot-com, all this revolution and all this rigmarole. That all passed. That's everybody's now a dot-com maniac and a genius. How about our regular stuff? As I said earlier, our cell phones, our clothing, our shoes, everything that we have around us. How can we look without a complaint at everything that you touch is made somewhere else? Where is the section made in America? You have to call Mark Andel or go to his store to see anything that's 100%.
And, Mike, when we showed the movie again, which, again, I haven't seen in a little while, Clyde Strickland, the producer, philanthropist, watched it 39 times. He was talking, which was funny. But we sit in a beautiful theater, the largest screen in the country, 44 foot wide. And, you know, before, everybody was great to us. We all traveled in. We had family, friends with us, and we had a great time. But beforehand, they treated me good. But after the movie, a lot of tears, a lot of crying. Combat veterans came up, wanted a picture. I'll send you guys some pictures. The combat veterans. And they got it. They're like, wow, I didn't know that happened to you. You know, because I'm one of the toughest times of my life.
Yes.
I laid off 30 of my 70 employees and 18 family members. So they don't even have a clue, most people, what you go through running a business. Rich, you know the ups and downs. But the point is we want to make sure they know what it is to live paycheck to paycheck or the care for livelihoods. I don't know if they have a clue. Larkin, you hit it on the head. I don't know if we heard what we need to hear yet from a qualified leader.
No, we haven't. We have.
You know, what we want to hear.
Right.
Now, here is something also on the debt clock. Right now in America, we have only 12,377,000 private sector manufacturing jobs. In the year 2000, we had 24 million. Where did those jobs go?
Mike, can we mandate that all the people running today watch our movie?
Watch the movie and also look at the debt clock.
It tells it all.
Yeah. This is something that they haven't looked at. I don't think many of the candidates, I won't say all, but many of the candidates understand what these things are. It tells you everything on that debt clock. How many people are living in poverty, which is, as we speak, 46,745 people. How is that possible? In America, we should have been either level or going up, not going down, not going from 24.9 million manufacturing jobs 16 years ago to 12 million manufacturing jobs now. How did that happen? That's 30 years of people just not giving a damn in Washington. Their paycheck comes on Friday like somebody has a problem. What is that all about? What problem do you mean? That's where the problem of little movements like this have put thorns in the side and educated people. And there's lots of movements like this now. In fact, even on our local stations, Larkin, all of the broadcasters are now talking about buy American made, go out of your way to speak up for American made, all this sort of stuff. We never heard that 10 years ago. The pundits were all talking about craziness. Who has got a bigger this and a bigger that? You know, who's got a bigger entourage? These are not bread and butter issues that the American people want addressed in this election.
And Mike,
more than that, after the election is over, people want to hold the candidates' feet to the fire. I do.
And Mike, as the economy gets worse in these tough times, we can't afford another 4 to 8 years of what we're going through. Because I'm a diehard. I live and breathe the business and keep getting back up after you're hit. But we need entrepreneurs to succeed. We can't have these businesses keep closing and people getting more and more handout. It just doesn't work that way as they keep going down. So we need big change for small business, and small business built America. Larkin, you know, it's just a fact. From Henry Ford to where we are today.
You know, Larkin and Rich, I want to ask you something. 8 years ago, the debt was $9 trillion. It's now 19 plus trillion. And yet the national leaders didn't say, well, wait a minute, how can we go up a trillion a year, a trillion plus a year? How's that possible? This is where I'm saying that the national president is going to have to do a job like we've never seen. And it has to be somebody that has stamina, somebody has brass, and willing to speak up in behalf of every one of the 323 million of people living in America right now.
And the answer can't just be print more money.
Right. That's where the $19 trillion. Poor Henry over here with four kids and a wife. He's got a bill for every one of them, $54,000. Henry, that's a lot of money. Well, whatever it takes. But every one of you listening, you take a look at that debt clock. It's an education in itself. And thanks to some good contacts, we now have how things were in the year 2000 and how they are right now as we speak. Please do look at that debt clock and you'll understand why more local radio broadcasters, newspapers, and all are speaking up about the Buy American Made movement. And I want to thank Larkin, Rich, and Mark for unbelievable cooperation, because they do this out of the goodness of their heart. Now, Rich, you've been sitting quiet.
I've been quiet, Michael, but man, I'm listening to this. I'm thinking, boy, I got a lot of things to say.
Well, that's why our listeners love us.
Man, I got a lot of things to say.
Let's hear it.
Michael, guys, it's the point that we've been making consistently on this show since we've all been together on this panel, which is that what we do on a daily basis as business owners, as voters, Larkin says this, Mark says this, it all starts locally. It all starts with each individual. Right now at this point, Michael, as an electorate, as a nation, we are approaching a day of reckoning. It is happening. It's going to happen. It's no longer theoretical. And I want to use, if I may, that analogy that I used last week, which is that you've got these two freight trains that are coming. And what we're witnessing now is an electorate that is supercharged, that is being led mostly by what I'm going to call, broadly speaking, independent voters. That's who's driving this, Michael. And we can't let the irony be lost on all of us that with the Republican frontrunner, what has been driving his campaign, in my opinion, more than longtime Republicans, are independents. So this is a bit of irony in all this right now, that you've got a major party candidate who's being propelled by crossover and independent voters. And isn't it still fascinating, for good and bad reasons, that this story, that this coup d'etat of taking down the story of taking down the front runner still not going away. And Mark, when you said, you talk about Hillary Clinton's speech and people, Mark, those people 8 years ago decided they were going to vote for Clinton. So it doesn't matter.
You see it.
What's the difference? What difference does it make? What's said? That was 8 years. What difference does it make? That was 8 years ago they decided. Now let me give a little bit of love to Larkin on this point. Had a very long conversation last night with someone who identifies as a moderate down the middle Democrat, and he said to me, "Well, Rich, don't you think that's true with the Republican voters?" And I said, "Actually, I don't, because I can name, Michael, a whole bunch of people I know who were Ben Carson supporters, Fiorina, Christie." They were Rand Paul supporters, and as those candidates dropped out, they are still willing to vote for the nominee, but they didn't have the point is they didn't have their mind made up 8 years ago. So the plan has to be, if what I have said is correct, that those who will come out and vote for Clinton and people like her. Forget about just the presidency. People like her in many elections, state and local, and Congress. If I'm correct that those people will vote for someone like her no matter what, you need a hell of a plan to beat that, Michael.
Yeah.
You need a hell of a plan. Sure. And you want to know something else that I also think is, I'm watching it, and I'm so, you know, this democracy thing is beautiful, but man, is it messy sometimes, right? It can get messy. But the founders knew that this day, right, this era was going to come. They didn't know what it would look like. They knew they wouldn't be alive to see it. They're probably looking down now, and they're probably laughing and crying. They're probably laughing and saying, well, told you so. But they're probably crying because they're looking at what's happening now, and they're saying, you know, this is our baby. You got to preserve this thing of ours, right? You got to preserve this baby. And they knew that the day would come, because when Franklin was asked in the early 1800s, Dr. Franklin, is the United States a monarchy or a republic? His answer was, a republic, if you can keep it.
That's right.
That's what the answer was, a republic, if you can keep it. So what we see now is everything that is happening is the result of an active, participatory electorate. This is, in the simplest terms, guys, what's happening. And that can translate into many things that are not just political related. Mark, it will, if this stays the way it is, it will translate into Made in America. I believe that it will. Larkin, it will translate into you may have more and more people coming in saying, I'm ready to start that business. But it's got to be all about, Michael, the culture and the confidence.
You're right, Rich, and there's something I want to say about the small business aspect and SCORE. Many of the people that would like to give business a stab are shaken off by too many rules, regs, application processes, L&I, and everything else. You know that, Larkin. This is a big problem with people, and people want to do things, and they have to do something to start addressing the idea of how are we going to help these small businesses, which employ, at this point, more than half of every person employed in the private sector right now. We can't talk about the public sector because that's been something growing in the last 15 years beyond anything I could believe. But there's something else I want to say. The candidates that are seeking our votes are now, for the first time that I see, are speaking up more about private sector businesses, jobs for the American people. But one of the things everybody wants to know, and that's where Larkin's question comes in, exactly what type of jobs are they talking about? Are they going to have a written plan that we'll be able to see soon? Do they have a team of people that are ready and willing and able to go and work with the private sector businesses, the industries, the jobs, the schools, and everything else to get America back into competition with the global economy? That's what the people want to know.
You know, if the federal government would just take the money that it issues in entitlements, and there's just a gazillion of them. I know there are people that deserve the entitlements and need the help. But any entitlement that doesn't have an end date on it is kind of ridiculous. And other than unemployment, I don't know of any of the other entitlements that has an end date on it. Okay, so things are tough and you need a little help with your mortgage and you need some food stamps and you need to be part of the WIC program to feed your children. That's all fine and good. But if they would take all of these programs, all of them, throw it into one big pile and say, okay, here, Pennsylvania, here's $48 million. Here's $148 million. Here's $548 million. Go rebuild all your bridges. And by the way, if somebody comes to you who's currently on unemployment and has been there for a year, hire them.
And you know, Larkin, that's how it was 25 years ago. I mean, went the old way of doing the unemployment compensation office. Any person over 50 years old knows that when you were unemployed, you went to a compensation office. They didn't have all this over the phone and all. And then they also tried to follow you to make sure you had some job possibilities. They categorized you in, well, you're office personnel, you're manufacturing, you're welding, you're plumbing. Today, you don't have that. Everything is very impersonal. Report your stuff over the phone. They've never seen you face to face. They don't know what the hell is going on. This has all got to change. And that's what I am seeing and hearing in all of the Rust Belt places where the people have come out in almost unbelievable numbers to vote. People want a change in this country. The person who gets the nomination and who really gets to be president is going to have a lot of work on their hands. It's not going to be the days where people go into the White House and lay down on the couch or sit in the Oval Office and do nothing.
And Mike, let's start with the businesses that are here already manufacturing. Let's give them incentives for being here. It's a great place to start. Help us. Low interest loans. Larkin, you know the number one problem for businesses right now is getting capital. Banks just they're locking up as this economy sinks into a hole again.
Well, yep. Well, there was a short period where they raised their risk level a little bit, and I don't know if they started writing a bunch of bad paper. I didn't get the feeling that they were, but they certainly are kind of locking up a little bit now and saying, you know, we're lending money, we're a small business lender, and then you get in there, and it's so prevalent. When you
if you had $100,000, they'll give you $100,000.
They are so willing to lend money to people who have money.
Right.
Well, guess what? If I have money, I don't need to borrow money. These companies need a helping hand. And
they don't like risk takers, you know.
Pardon?
They don't like risk takers, you know, the entrepreneurial.
No.
It's always been a problem. But we just got to keep continuing because that's what built America. That's the roots and the foundation are the entrepreneurs, exactly what Larkin supports with SCORE, which is awesome.
And, you know, it's also very true that the banks have the possibilities to work with the government on some of these insured loans and things like that. It's important for national elected officials to get off their, you know what, and do something, because they really, Larkin, have the ability to get everyone working together to authorize those long-term tax incentives and all of the other benefits, the different communities where you'll get a tax break if you go and locate in a certain area, employ local people. But they're not doing anything. I can't find one plan from the federal government that's going to give a dollar to where Larkin is in Florida or where Mark is in Buffalo, New York. I can't find any plans like that.
And I do want to thank Larkin. Larkin, you mentioned to go to a community bank. I did go with Lakeshore Savings Bank up here in Buffalo compared to Citizens, which is more commercial. And boy, is it nice to be able to talk to somebody like us. So there is a plus. A lot of paperwork in the loans, a lot of paperwork in the process. I'm a 30-year in business 30 years. I just feel for that guy out of the garage, Larkin, you know, or person out of the garage. Very tough. But the community banks is a great way to start, so our listeners know that, or Larkin, if you're pushing that, you are absolutely right. I've got a great community bank now where I get a person with a pulse to talk to.
The smaller the bank, the more community-oriented the bank is, the more successful you're going to be, and it's for one very, very simple reason. Mark, if you walk out of your house and walk two blocks away from where you live, you'll run into the banker that just wrote you that paper.
Right.
They are they're members of the community, the backbones of the community. Listen, that Wells Fargo person doesn't live in your neighborhood. And I don't mean to pick on Wells Fargo. That was kind of nasty. I didn't mean that. But I mean the major banks are big institutional lenders. You know, it's very hard for them to get that close to the curb. It's very hard for them to get that close to Main Street. And community banks do it so wonderfully because that's who they are. That's why
Larkin, you're right. And I think the banks and our elected officials and community leaders have to understand, like never before, that our nation is at stake. If we don't take action now, we simply don't have any more time to waste.
Michael, can I make a point about that?
Yes.
Guys, and feel free to chime in on this. Economy, national security, all of these issues, obviously important. I'm going to tell you guys what I think is as important an issue that has really come, it's risen to the top. This election is about national sovereignty. That's what this election is about, Michael. This election is about national sovereignty. The greatest presidents of all time got some things right, got some things wrong. Any one of us, if we were president, we'd get some things right. We get some things wrong. Let me tell you what an elected official in America, especially the president, should never get wrong, ever, ever. Never should a president be embarrassed by his country and be an apologist for his country. Larkin, I'm going to be a little less diplomatic than you were about your earlier point about Cuba. Our president sits down with a murderous, communist, tyrannical dictator and takes notes from this person on our problems. Okay?
Yeah, I saw that.
Takes notes and sits there and says, that's a good point, President Castro. What else is screwed up about America? Well, race problems. Well, income inequality. Well, poverty. And our president says, we want that constructive criticism. Let's look to our friends in Europe. Michael, the continent of Europe is on the brink of extinction. The European Union has failed. Anyone who doesn't think it hasn't is not living in the real world and is guaranteed to be at a Hillary Clinton event. Okay? Now, again, I ask the question, what's the plan for sovereignty? That's what this is about. The TPP, the ones that Obama and the Republican cronies that he's got into Congress with him, they tell us, trust us, this is good. Just like they told you, trust us with NAFTA. Trust me, this is good for us. You know what that deal is about, Michael? I'll tell you what it's about. It's about further abdicating our national and economic sovereignty. So one thing that an elected official should never get wrong, he should never be an apologist for his country.
Yep.
There's a certain skill. There's a certain skill that some Larkin, who did it better than anybody in the modern era? Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
He did it better than anybody to say, look, we got our problems. We got our issues. But there's a skill to talk about those issues while never, ever disparaging. Michael, the person presiding over this country went to take advice from Raul Castro. And you tell me that that's not a sad day for the country.
No, I agree.
You tell me that it isn't. You look me in the eye and you tell me that it isn't.
If we could all say that as of tomorrow, this particular thing was accomplished as a result of that visit, I would say, wow, that was great. We can hold on to an accomplishment. But I really don't know what that accomplishment is, especially due to the fact that many of the people who have complained to the White House, to the Senate, and to the Congress have not been given any kind of consideration on stopping the TTP. And that is why this girl and two guys from this Rapid Response contacted me, and I'll ask you to take a look at it yourself. It's #StopTTP.org. The person is Kim Miller. Maybe she can come on our show at some point. But they're bringing attention to the fact that too many of our jobs have been lost, and more of our elected leaders are just saying, yeah, this is a good deal. I'd like to see the facts and figures of what happened with the trade agreements. In fact, I think the new president has to look at every trade agreement America made in the last 50 years and see what we can do to turn it around if it's not in our behalf, on our favor right now. Do you agree with that, Mark?
Yes, we have to. We just can't keep going forward. So when I hear with the imports and this new TPP, again, I hear people all the time that talk against it. So we try to educate ourselves with it and how it could help us, but we don't see any help from it. We see more trouble for us.
And we don't see any statistics as to really what the projections were from now, 3 years from now, 6 years from now. But when we look back at the NAFTA and CAFTA agreement, we see that America lost 1 million jobs in various categories, 700,000 in another category, which is all discussed in this StopTTP.org site. I'd like people to keep letting their local elected officials know that people want unemployment issues addressed. They want trade issues addressed. They want those local restrictions being put on people lifted so that small businesses want to become and revitalize the communities. That's not happening when you call up a department and tell them that you want to have a new business open. The first thing they're worried about is, how much do you think you'll make so we can give you a pre-tax bill in advance of you opening your doors to the general public?
Well,
And you know, Larkin, what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, one of my favorite stories is a young lady in Philadelphia tried to start a bakery. She was starting it on a shoestring. She made that perfectly clear to the city. But here's a young lady, an individual with a couple kids who was going to really try to bring her family out of the doldrums. And she borrowed a little bit of money. She hawked everything she had, and she started the storefront bakery up on Ogontz Avenue. And they just kept on whacking her. I mean, the city came in, and they were just, I mean, it was like a parade. One city official would walk out of the door, and you'd wait 10 minutes, and the next one would walk in. Then that one would walk out, and the next one would walk in. But the backbreaker is when they walked in, and guy said, "Where's your dumpster?" "I'm from the Department of Sanitation." "Where's your dumpster?" And she said, "It's in the back. It's a smaller dumpster because it's a small alley, but it's in the back." He went back there and looked at it. He came back. He said, "Where's your dumpster medallion?" And she said, I don't know what you're talking about." He said, "Every dumpster in the city of Philadelphia has to have a medallion issued by the city for $350. And she said, "Well, is that like a paying to have my garbage picked up in advance?" No, we don't pick it up. Somebody else does. But we need to put a $350." She had to close the doors.
That's another form of a tax.
$350 medallion so that the city could find out where all the dumpsters were. There are just so many people sitting around inventing laws. Another great one. I go back years ago to when the guy that lived around the corner, Tom Colley, was a state senator. And he was an attorney in town and a respectable one. He had 8 kids, good old Irish Catholic family. And Tom Colley got elected state senator. And do you know what that meant? That meant that 2 times a year he had to drive to Harrisburg and stay for about 10 days, vote on a whole bunch of bills, caucus, but, you know, get together, kind of straighten things out in the state, tell the governor what direction he's supposed to be going in, and then he'd go home. And I think they paid him a per diem of like $250 a day as a state senator.
Well, you know,
they work 365 days a year, supposedly, and they're paid this egregious sum along with staff and everything else. You don't need that kind of population of politicians in Harrisburg to run this state. You do not need that. And you could save the state billions of dollars if they would go back to part-time legislators.
I agree. And you know, Larkin, that's exactly what we said earlier. We went, in this day of computerization, we went from 10 million government workers to 23 million government workers. That doesn't make sense. In computerization, you would think it would be less. What we're seeing today in America is the fact that people are disappointed in the way America has been going in the last 15, 20 years. We can't be disappointed anymore. I see people voicing their opinions, their disappointments. They're coming out to elections like we've never heard or seen in the past. And that's what we on this broadcast and other broadcasts are doing to unite people. I can't encourage you to do more than what you're doing right now, but make sure that you spend as many of your dollars as possible on everything made in America that you can. Of course, we want to be part of the global economy, absolutely. But I'd also like to see those container ships that are coming in with all the foreign-made products leave full of American-made products so they could share them in other countries of the world. This is what we have to get back to return to. When people say, "Oh, well, American-made stuff is too expensive," well, then we have to say that foreign products are too cheap. And we're not going to degrade ourselves by not having availability of making products that we should be making as a competitive product in the USA.
Yeah, Mike, it's a beautiful time of year when the spring breaks here for the people, our listeners. You know, you hear all our talk and it seems so complex, but I think a real simple way, again, is to go out and buy Made in America products. Again, it'll fix 90% of our problems in the country. This spring, though, when you go out, search for Made in America products. Our stores, we just opened 2 seasonal stores, you know, when the people are off because it's Easter, and happy Easter to everyone also coming up. But, you know, it's a great time to go out and look for America, and as the spring comes, really get fired up about it as we go into this year, because the first quarter is tough on businesses, and now you want to just get rolling into April and really support your local business and buy Made in America as much as you can, because it's perfect time of year.
And also, if you live at a distance and you're not able to buy some stuff from Mark Andel, you can go to his website. In fact, you can click on our link on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com or go direct to the Made in America store, and you'll find out exactly what he has to offer. Everything that you do to help Mark is helping the American-made movement. In fact, when you go on there, there's a video that Mark has placed on there. Make sure you check it out. It's a 30-second video, and you'll see Mark's dad. He's one of the customers at the cash register in the video. And you'll see exactly what small things people are doing, but those small things are starting to grow into big things. We're seeing many, many changes. Guys, I want to tell you how many people have told me that they are registered as independents and they don't like the fact that they have to re-register in the state of Pennsylvania and some others to go to a Democrat or Republican. They want to be able to, as independents, be able to go into the voting place and be able to vote for the person of their choice. So that is going to be another issue to be addressed in the future. Getting open primaries in every state, not just the 20 states that have it now.
Well, there's a handful of issues that have to be paid attention. But I'm gonna, by looking at the wonderful little smiley clock on the wall, I'm gonna give my closing comments real quickly. Please, as listeners and as voters, and I hope you all are registered voters, please don't listen to the rigmarole. Don't listen to the three-ring circus. Stay away from the ringleaders. Stay away from the people who would shout stuff at you that makes no sense and is not important. Get a piece of paper and write down the five most important things that you think that we need as Americans. And in columns outside of it, mark down what all of the candidates say. Not how they say it, not where they say it, not... Just mark down where they're coming from, who they are, and what they feel about what is important in America. And soon enough, the candidate that you support will very quickly surface to the top.
Thank you much, Larkin. Happy Easter. Also, Mark, how would you like to close off our broadcast?
Yeah, I'd like to wish everybody, you guys, a happy Easter and our listeners, and celebrate this this great time with your family. And again, believe in what we're doing. Believe you can make a difference, and go out and make a difference. Talk it up. Elect a qualified official. Do your homework, and buy Made in America products because it absolutely works. It's a great action plan.
Thank you much, and Rich.
Guys, and to all of our listeners, happy Easter to everyone. Don't listen to the polls. Get out and vote.
Yeah, we still have several states that are going to have to be having the election. So
turnout, baby.
It's turnout. We can't allow this to continue what went on for 25, 30 years. We got to do what has the best interest of America, and that's what is happening. So please do. You'll be able to hear a rebroadcast of today's program on our internet site in about an hour. And do spread the word about all of our efforts. You'll see many of them linked on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, tomorrow we have a broadcast Friday. I'll see you Saturday for our Saturday variety program. Have a very happy Easter. Vesuego Aleluya to all of our listeners. Kindly spread the word. We're depending on you. And thanks, Larkin, Rich, and Henry, and Mark. Your efforts are unbelievable. We need to stay together, and with your efforts, a lot of people have been influenced in a very positive way. So my best wishes to you and your families. Have a great one.
Remember, guys, May 21st, save the date. Come on up to Buffalo, New York for our grand opening. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
America, I'm searching for an old church steeple where inside you'll find people who live their lives unashamed and ain't afraid to say God's name out loud. Yeah.